listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, happy Tuesday. Welcome back. So glad to see you all again. Well, you know, virtually anyway. Guys, so glad to have you guys lining up to get on. You know, we always got great things to talk about. Today, we have someone coming on. Check this out. This guy did, I don't want to shoot his name. If he wants to reveal his name, that's fine. You know, it's Google searchable. But he did the documentary for all of these criminal enterprise families that were allegedly kingpins. Some were, some weren't. Some we know of, some we don't. But he did a documentary on Wayne Akbar Prey. And I had some questions for him because, you know, the title of his documentary, it's a little open-ended. And a part of it has the federal statute attached to it. United States Code 21 USC 848. So that's where we're going today with this, guys. You know, I just have some trouble understanding a few things that happened in Wayne Akbar Prey's case. And, you know, I like clarity on some things. So it has to make sense, especially with my background and my training, you know, and sometimes it's not even your background and your training. It's called common sense. You know, if the guy's been railroaded and he's still in there for some anonymous reason, you know, we all need to get down to the bottom of it because it's not right for an innocent man to be incarcerated for 34 years of his life. His kids barely know him besides, you know, visits in prison. And that's a tough pill to swallow for some people. You know, especially parents today. There are over, I lost count a long time ago. But as far as federal inmates go, there's millions of federal inmates that are locked up from old drug laws that were somehow tweaked a little bit, you know, to adjust to someone, you know, getting out and being a productive citizen today, you know, because sometimes in this field of law, it's a circle of friends. And sometimes you don't want to step on those toes of those circles of friends because it can land you in a very bad position, like you're 2255. You know, a lot of people knows what that is, but you start filing motions against the government for devious and mischievous behavior, you could be barking up the wrong tree if you step on the wrong toes, you know, and that could be being a little too friendly or being Joe, you know, with the wrong people's wives. That could land people in a very bad spot. And this happens not only in the judicial system, but it happens in regular society where men need to keep their belongings in their pants and women need to keep their legs closed. You know, we've had many people come on the show and talk about the toxic relationships due to infidelities. Mind you, there's a guy serving 40 years right now because a situation happened and there was infidelity with his, you know, live-in girlfriend, if that's what you want to call her. And this landed this guy 40 years in prison, which he could have been doing life because he could have actually killed her. So, you know, she was lucky to get away with just some bumps and bruises. But our caller is getting ready to come on very shortly. And I'm quite sure the questions that I have to ask are some things that people might have in their mind to want to know, you know, because you're doing a documentary on someone's life and you can't leave out bits and pieces of this is what shoulda, coulda, woulda happened. Either it happened or it didn't. So I'm just, you know, in a position where clarity needs to be heard, because those fine prints, you know, you ever go to a car dealership and you miss the fine print where it says interest rate 12.555%? You know, guys, you always miss it. It's always at the bottom of any infomercial. You ever see the commercials come up and they come up really quick and they go away on the TV? Like you didn't even have time to read it, you know, and you're basically saying, wait a minute, this is not what it said. It said I could, you know, get this car for $69 a month. And then before you know it, it didn't happen. You know, it's called the fine print. And some people get around the fine print by not paying attention. You know, they don't look at the fine print. And this is somewhat like what happened here. Someone overlooked the fine print of things that were done and said in this case, and they rearranged it to make it fit better for them. And there are some things that some people may or may not know about federal law and the federal system, is that our youth at this point in time is being attacked. And these young people have no guidance on which way they want to go, because this situation that's going on right now today, people are thinking, and I'm talking about the youth, that Scarface is still alive out there somewhere. You know, maybe the rapper is, but the actual movie of, you know, this kingpin and how he became kingpin, because if you really looked at that movie, you would have saw he was never really the original kingpin. He got the kingpin out of the way and basically took his lady. You know, that's really what happened in this Wayne Akbar Prey situation. And it's very sad to say that sometimes you don't know the hand you're going to be dealt, and you just have to spin it on the table and see, you know, if it's in your favor or not. So a lot of people will have their own judgments about the youth and these cool DHS babies. You know, I gotta bring that up for a second, guys. These cool DHS babies, they're running wild. You know, I see some of the things that go on social media, and it's very sickening. You know, one kid got up there and said, don't blame me for my behavior. Blame the projects, because that's who raised me. You know, these kids are killing. Don't wait until it happens to one of your family members for you to now say something has to be done. Because I noticed that with people. They don't want to take any action. They don't want to be involved until it directly affects their household member. And then there's a problem. So people, please don't, you know, pass judgment on any of the parents that are drug addicted, because they've been misguided and misled also. So we have a funny way of, as people, pointing the finger, you know, and sometimes you have to be careful, because when you point the finger and the thumb is up, you're pointing it back at yourself. So be good examples out here today. Our caller was supposed to call in. I'm not sure if there's a delay with him calling in, but I wanted to just talk to you about 21 USC 848. Now, that is different from the RICO Act. Okay. And the RICO Act is basically you need three or more to agree to committing a crime together. And what happens with the 21 U.S.C. 48?
Hello?
Matter of fact, let's get the guy who did the documentary to explain that. Hi, caller, you're on.
Hi, this is Thomas Freeman.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Fine, thank you. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your documentary that included this criminal enterprise and, you know, all these leaders of these different organizations. I wanted to ask you, what is the topic of your documentary?
So our documentary is called 848, The Criminalization of America. The topic is nonviolent drug offenders who were sentenced to life in prison, mainly during the 1980s and 1990s. And the laws have changed, and there's been some relief for a lot of people. But because the laws are tailored with specific wording, that could be to be the difference of, you know, getting out and staying in for thousands of people that don't fall into the specific guidelines for whatever, for one reason or another. And so we just wanted to highlight some of those people and, you know, try to get some awareness to what's going on. You know, serving life in prison for a nonviolent crime, we feel like it's too long. The people that are on the documentary have already served 30 years. So this is not like the Innocence Project. We're not claiming anybody's innocent. We're just claiming after 30 plus years, it's time to let, you know, these guys come home.
Okay, because I was just a little curious. I'm going to take it back a little bit in Wayne Prey's life. And do you go back in the documentary, like the beginning of his stardom?
Well, what we're planning on doing is a docu-series. So we filmed the pilot episode, which kind of breaks down, you know, 848, you know, the war on drugs and how we got to where we are now. And then we're supposed to go into specific episodes detailing the life of Wayne Prey and Anthony Stutson. So we filmed the pilot, we edited the pilot, we have the pilot together. So now we're going to shop that in hopes that we could get, you know, a budget to go ahead and to finish those. But I have done a lot of research to answer your question on Wayne Prey, and I'm familiar with his early, you know, his background.
Okay. In the documentary, will it show that he wasn't the original kingpin?
That will probably be in his documentary. In his specific episode. In this one, we kind of we show, like, you know, how this, like, the cocaine era, the crack era, how it kind of took off. The political response to the crack era, as well as the response of the community. How the crackdown on drug dealers happened, how the 94 crime bill came into play. You know, so it's like a detailed timeline. But when we get to the end and we actually start meeting Wayne Prey's children, and Wayne Prey, you know, calls in and kind of gives an overview of his charge and where he stands, and that's where it kind of ends off for the pilot episode.
Okay. So you say that you did in-depth research on Wayne Prey's case, right?
Right.
So is there anything in there that would show that he was actually involved with the original kingpin's wife?
Not that we came across, and we were kind of concentrating mainly on, like, his case, because that's not, like, specific to him, you know, getting life in prison. That really has no bearing on it. So, you know, the main thing is when you're arrested for a drug charge, if you decide that you're not going to cooperate and that you're just going to take your time, they were giving people life. So his original offer was 10 years. He refused to cooperate. So, you know, when he went to trial, he received life. And that's what he focused on.
Were you aware that the kingpin's wife is the actual one that recorded him on a wiretap and set him up?
I was aware of that.
Okay. And because, you know, I just wanted to elaborate on a couple of things with his case. You know, because he was labeled as the kingpin, but the original kingpin, you know, found out that he was bumping off his wife. And he said, listen, this is what you need to do because I need to get rid of him. And basically, she offered him a drug deal that was fabulous. And they were intimately involved. So he basically took the deal without knowing that he was on a wiretap.
Right. Well, in a lot of these cases involve what we would think would be entrapment if we go back to the original case. So we have Freeway Rick Ross on the documentary as well. He was in a similar situation. So that's not uncommon at all for the practices that the government, you know, the tactics they use on those drug cases in the 80s and the 90s.
Okay, and then is there any part of the documentary that shows that, okay, he gets granted a new trial? You guys get that far in it that he goes to trial again?
That he goes to trial again, you said?
Yes, he was granted a new trial. Do you guys show that part in the series?
He was granted a new hearing, I believe, to discuss, what's it called? Compassionate release.
Oh, no, we're going back about 20 years.
Oh, okay. All right, so I'm not aware of that trial.
Okay, he was granted a new trial, and to me, it seems like he's not being held, you know, like they say, he's been in prison for 34 years. He's being held there for, you know, these old drug violations that he had. To me, it seems like Wayne Pray stepped on the wrong toes, because when he was granted that new trial, the attorney's wife was also another person that he had an intimate relationship with. And I don't know if you were aware of that.
No, I wasn't.
So I think that with Wayne, I think in the documentary, if you could also, and I mean, this is confirmed. He actually did have an affair with the attorney's wife, and it was, you know, it was her idea, not his. But even though he shouldn't have done it, but I think in
while
his documentary,
incarcerated, you're saying?
No,
while before he was incarcerated?
Before he got incarcerated, well, he was in for a long period of time, and this attorney he had retained was his trial attorney and also his attorney to hear his motion on the 2255. So his trial attorney's wife is the one that he had the affair with. Yes. So, I mean, you can confirm it with him, but for sure it's confirmed on my end. And I don't think it's so much of him being in there for 34 years under the, you know, criminal enterprise statute that he's been there for a long time. It's time to let these guys go. I think someone is pulling the cord and saying he stepped on too many toes and deny that motion when it comes across your desk. Because even under, well, he didn't get charged under the RICO Act.
No, but 848 is similar to the RICO, except for the RICO could be any kind of racketeering. The 848 is specific to drugs.
Right. So under the 848, it says that they must generate a large amount of money, at least $10 million in gross receipts during a single year. According to his indictment, he only grossed $4 million.
I'm not sure because I would have to check with Wayne, but one thing I know is that he doesn't deny being a large scale drug dealer. He just says that, like we all do, that life in prison is an excessive punishment for that crime. And that after serving 33 years, he should be allowed to be released from prison. Not that he wasn't. So he's never told me, like some of the other guys have told me, like I wasn't a kingpin, or you know, the trumped up charges. He's never relayed that to me. I'm not saying they weren't, but he's never relayed that to me. He's always said he's never been, you know, a paragon of virtue, in his own words, but that the sentencing is excessive. So that's really what we focus on. We don't really go back into the original trial. Because at this point, it's kind of spilled milk. You know, he's been there 33 years. So what we're looking at is how do we get him out of prison to get him home?
Right. And that's why I was questioning, because under the USC 848, that is under a so-called super kingpin. It's like they sentenced him under a super kingpin. So that's why I was kind of curious to find out about the docuseries, because, you know, if it goes back into his life and it shows that he wasn't the super kingpin, and he wasn't even the kingpin, because all these people had their own identities. I mean, from the 300 members that were in, they call the family of the North.
Right.
He wasn't their leader. They had their own sets. And that's why I was a little curious on what would it portray, because in his indictment, besides the superficial stuff that they put in there, because not all people, not all agents are going to be honest and truthful when they write a statement. You know, they have to get the promotion, so they have to put in their own words. But I was kind of curious to find out how far did it go back, because if they're going back and they're saying he had to have all this money and gross receipts, when they actually indicted him, they took some jewelry in one car. Never any mentions of any money.
Well, I will, in the actual series, once we get greenlit for a series, then it becomes more like definitely like an American Gangster or you know, America's Most Dangerous. One of those kind of profiles. So in those episodes, we would get in depth in that, inside his trial, inside his street activities, inside his, you know, life of the boxing promoter. You know, we would get inside all, we would get in detail and all that. We accumulated a lot of information and a lot of interviews for that already, just doing what we've been doing. But we've been so locked in on 848, the pilot, that we haven't really combed through all the information for his individual episode, because we also have another guy, Anthony Stetson, who was indicted with his mother, his brother, sisters, and got life, you know, 848. Him, his mother, stepfather, mother died in prison. He's still in there 30 years in. So these are unfortunately not isolated incidents. And, you know, it's so much to comb through, because, you know, they all could be looked at as raw deals in some way or another. You know, we start talking about that ability for nonviolent crimes.
Okay. Well, Thomas, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show today And we'd like to have you back on once this hits the air so people can be made aware of, you know, this docuseries and really focus in and, you know, help bring action to the cause.
Definitely. Well, I appreciate you having me on. I apologize for coming in late, but I appreciate it. It was a great time, and I look forward to coming back once it's released.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas, and have a great day.
All right, you
too. Bye-bye. Things that make you go, Yeah, I went, My thing is with a docuseries, documentary, docuseries, story of my life, you have to go back into my life and you have to tell all the missing parts. Because if I'm trying to get free out of prison after 34 years, you better detail every nook and cranny. Like when I went to the bathroom and wiped my butt and I had a drug deal going on, you better put that in my docuseries. Like everything has to be in there. You know, sleeping with the kingpin's wife and getting set up by her, that definitely needs to be in there. Sleeping with your trial attorney's wife and getting busted and now you're stuck in there because the attorney may have had some pull with the judges. And guess what? Judges don't retire like regular people do, okay? They sit on that bench for a very long time. So it kind of makes you wonder, what's going to be left out? You know, because sometimes people are a little afraid of letting loose and telling the truth. Very strange. So when it comes to telling the story of someone's life and you want to bring awareness, you need to bring awareness to all of the people that were involved. You know, his indictment named all these separate groups, JBM, Felix Mitchell family, Larry Hoover, Black Mafia family, you know, all these different groups of people and many, many more. So obviously, if these groups had their own names, wouldn't it be so that they have their own identity? You're not just controlling the group. You know, this is what I feel this docuseries should show. It should show, you know, him owning the liquor stores that he used to own. It should show the young kids robbing his liquor store and him not, you know, doing anything to them, but saying, hey, I need to talk to your parents. You know, a nonviolent offender locked up for 34 years. It just doesn't make sense. And people, pay attention to this because it could happen to you. And I know someone is on this line today that is listening and they're nodding their head because they've been falsely accused of doing something that they did not do. And it sucks the life out of you when you have to fight for your innocence and you have to prove that the government is a liar. You have to prove that the person, they call them the victim, is a liar. And then your life is sucked away from you for so long that you feel like you're not even alive anymore. And even if you don't go to jail and you're falsely accused, you still have this situation lingering over your head because it drains the life out of your body. All because you're dealing with mental illness of others. I mean, just like the higher ups that wrote the article on Wayne Pray of, you know, he's still continuing his drug enterprise in prison. And, you know, his son, who's a flatliner, he's just regular guy, businessman. He's a councilman. you know, he has time to run drugs to the prison or run the 300 man drug empire from New Jersey right here, right in his councilman's office. You know, he's advocating very hard for his dad. So you think this guy is going to go and ruin his life after he sees what it did to his dad's life? You know, like he said, he's a square. There's no one out here today, and people know. When people go to jail, you know, parents try to gather bail money. Oh, he needs $100 from each person to make bail. Let's see if we could do that. Well, what do? They go out and they start a fish Friday. You know, let's sell dinners. Let's get the money together. There's no friends coming to the table that's out here making money and saying, hey, we got $50,000. Let's go bail them out. It's never going to happen that way. So everyone has their own identity, their own self-employment when it comes to narcotics. You know, not too long ago in Philadelphia, there was a guy that was renting blocks. You want this block? You pay me $3,000 a month, and this corner belongs to you. So there's no freebies. There's no, the days of, you know, I'm going to give you a package to sell, and then you bring me back $3 off of each one, or however that works, $5 off of each one, and you keep three for yourself, you know, and if you decide to give a customer a discount, that's your loss. They don't do that anymore. What they do now is, I'll rent you this block, and if you don't pay your homage on this block, you're going to get wiped out. This is what the end result is. So there is no such thing as, you know, we're in this together. You're on the block, you take your chances, you make that decision for yourself. Wayne Prey's sentence is under a super kingpin. How did he get there when he really wasn't even a kingpin? Maybe he organized a few drug sales of some kilos. He's an organizer. Okay. An organizer doesn't warrant the sentence that he received, because it clearly says under that statute, for conviction under the statute, the offender must have been an organizer, manager, or supervisor of the continuing operation and have obtained substantial income or resources from the drug violations. This is a guy that had one car and some jewelry. Come on, and when the feds come in, we're coming in, okay? You will get everything seized, not just one car and some jewelry. And if you were hiding assets, they already knew about it because your best friend, the informant, already told what you transferred, when you transferred it, how much it was transferred for, your hiding money. So he was actually charged as he wasn't charged as a super kingpin. He never was even told he was a super kingpin, because super kingpins don't get any deals. He got a 10-year, okay, let's make a deal, spin the wheel. 10 years, it's yours, take it or leave it. He said, nope, I'm not taking it. But that deal came with some other deals, like tell us who the real kingpin is and you'll get these 10 years. We need this guy because we're going to give you just 10 years and you can live the rest of your life happily ever after. Meanwhile, the super kingpin will probably come and kill his whole family. I mean, listen, they wipe you out. These people have no care or concern. So what he did was he sacrificed his family's life and decided to give his own. He gave 34 years of his life so his son could become a councilman, so his daughter could become a doctor, so his other children could live very progressive, happy lives. He gave up his life to save his family's life. Because it's just not like you get a deal. Here, I'm going to give you 10 years. 10 years of candy for you. No, it didn't happen that way. And if someone thought it did, it didn't. There was another deal on top of a deal. We'll give you 10 if you give us this. If you don't give us this, then we're going to fry you and nail you to the cross. And this is what happened in his life. And I hope in the docuseries, it shows that this 10 years that was offered was just not a 10-year piece of candy. Here you go, and you get out of jail free card. That wasn't it. He had to give up something more, which is called substantial cooperation. And if you don't give up substantial cooperation, you basically, you don't win. You don't get the deal. That's what people don't realize. And for this man, Wayne Pray, to have given up so much and say, this is what I'm going to tell you what I did. Because people get snitches and rats and informants mixed up. Okay? People say what they did, that's what they did. Now, if they're saying, well, wait a minute, I'm not the only one who did it, so why am I the only one in trouble? This is really criminal what has happened to this man, all because he didn't take door number one. And to take someone's life away from them because they refuse to get their children and the mothers of their children and their other family members murdered. Because listen, you're dealing with a whole different ball game. We're talking about 300 kilos of cocaine. Okay? And it's actually being delivered. You know, he's not actually going to Colombia to get the drugs himself. Someone is making a drop off. So what happened to all of the other people, the other organizers in the case? No one got super kingpin but him. You know, and I'm hoping that in this docuseries, it will show the other key players that played a huge role in getting the drugs from Colombia to America. Because I'm quite sure if they brought it in by plane, okay, someone had to say, hey, what do you got aboard? You know, did they bring it in through submarine? And some people had a blind eye, deaf ear. People need to wake up, because until it happens to you or your family member is when you're going to realize that I am being ambushed in a different kind of way. They're not trying to outright kill you, because under 848, it says, you must serve a mandatory life sentence without the possibility of parole, sometimes referred to as living death or pine box sentence. And this is, by the way, guys, under the Super King statue that Wayne Pray is living his life under. And this 848 doesn't even warrant his type of sentence, because there was other organizers. He wasn't alone. Okay? And they really have to have five or more other persons involved. And where are the other persons that got the super kingpin life, you know, pine box sentence? You know, that's a hard thing to swallow. You're going out in a pine box, you know, just because you refuse to cooperate. And listen, I can't say that the guy was wrong, because what people don't know is, okay, I'm going to tell now. And there's nothing wrong with telling, okay? But just make sure you tell and say what you did and confess up to what you did. Okay, it's nothing wrong with telling the truth, but to make up stories is a no-no. Okay, so all these other people got off with a slap on the hand, Some people got 5 years. All the 123, me. I'll tell. I got something to say. You know, basically got a slap on the wrist because it was for cooperation. You give me cooperation, I'll give you a slap on the wrist. And that's what a lot of these organizers, managers, and supervisors received. You know, they got what they got. You know, all because they gave cooperation. And we're going to tell on Wayne Akbar Prey because this is what we know. And this is a fact. Because I heard him on a phone call. I seen him with all these drugs. The only person in his case that had him on a wiretap was the wife of the kingpin. Mysteriously, if that's the only wiretap that they have, and mind you guys, she took a deal for 13 years and she never gave up her kingpin husband, by the way. So I hope the docuseries really shows the truth of Wayne Prey's life of stardom to where he is today. You know, it's good to show the fur coats, the cars, he had a car dealership, you know, but give the backstory. Give this guy what he really deserves for 34 years of saving his own family's life. Okay, so the odds were against him from the beginning. He didn't want to cooperate. He didn't want to take 10 years because I'm going to say what I did. You caught me red-handed on a wiretap, charge me accordingly for that. Give me my punishment. But to wrongfully keep him incarcerated for so very long for having an affair with the attorney's wife, that was a no-no. Shame on him. But he was a ladies' man. Okay? The kingpin's wife, she could have told you that. But this is what it sums up to with Wayne Akbar Prey. Because people don't know the little missing fine print, such as him giving up his life for his children and his family members. That's what we call the fine print. And I hope the docuseries will show that, that he gave himself up to give his kids a chance in the world today. And these poor kids have been fighting for him for years for freedom because they believe, as intelligent as they are, that their father was wrongly sentenced. Not that he didn't do anything wrong. He did something wrong. He did a few things wrong. But to give him a super kingpin sentence is totally wrong. Guys, I tell you, we've covered a lot over the last 3 weeks of Wayne Akbar Prey. You know, I'm hoping one day we can get him on and, you know, he can call in. And, you know, I just want him to confirm some of the things that I've confirmed, you know, and these are facts and I'm positively sure he won't deny them. You know, there's a lot of things that are still hidden, the fine print in his case that has yet to be revealed. And, you know, like his son said, they're working on compassionate releases. But how could someone be compassionate about a man who destroyed someone else's home? I don't know too many people that's going to be that compassionate, especially with the trial attorney, you know. So not blaming the wife for anything, but she played a big role in it. It wasn't rape. He didn't get charged with rape. But she played a big role in, you know, entertaining the shenanigans. So people sometimes want to point the finger and you got to point it back at yourself. You know, she pointed that finger and said, he slept with me. He slept with me. I liked it. But do what you got to do. If you got to fry him, if that's what's going to make you happy and that's what's going to save our marriage, then fry him. And this is what the end result is. You know, so he already had 2 big, huge strikes against him, you know, and unfortunately, he now had a lot of time to think about that mistake. And one woman got you into another frying pan full of grease that's scorching hot, and then you jump off the bridge with another one. So sometimes we have to take responsibility for our own actions of what we do in this life. But guys, I want to tell you, next week we have a special guest coming on to talk about what's going on in this rap industry. It's a lot of rappers out here. There's a lot of wannabe rappers. You got a lot of Instagram stars. You have a lot of kids shooting videos on the corner of a block. You know, I've listened to some of the rap, by the way, and I've seen some of the videos, and I can honestly tell you, they'll never make it, you know, with the route they're going. They're doing videos. Like, they have to pick their hustle. Either you want to be a murderer or you want to be a rapper. You can't be both, you know. So now they're looking for this rapper kid in Philly that actually was doing donuts, and they have a clear picture of his face. You know, they're claiming this kid just did a murder at 6 o'clock and he's in his video shoot at 6:06 p.m. I mean, you know, nothing gets worse than the woman from Kensington, the area, K&A they call it, in Philadelphia. She's buying guns as a straw borrower and selling them to teenagers to go out and commit murders. It doesn't get any sicker than that. And if someone doesn't grab a hold of their youth and basically, you know, rattle their cage, shake them if you must. They're not an infant, so they won't die from, you know, the shaking syndrome. Shake them and let them know that you're the parent and you're still in charge. Because if you don't, you're going to lose your child to gun violence. You're going to lose your child to the OGs in the street. Because if you think gangs don't exist in Philadelphia and all over the world, you're highly mistaken. I had someone tell me that gangs don't exist in Philadelphia. Like, oh no, there's no gangs here, you know. But they're sadly mistaken, because there are. And there are initiations. And you don't want your kid caught in the crossfire in a bad situation dealing with someone else's problem. You know, because a lot of these kids today, that's my friend, I'm going to be involved, I'm going to fight for my friend. And little do that kid know, basically that other kid has a gun and they're going to blow you away. They're not going to fight with you. They're not doing that. These kids have switches. They have extra clips. They have AKs. Like, don't do it to yourself. Parents, the best thing you can do for your kids today is keep them active into different activities. So by the time they get home, they are so exhausted that the only thing they can do is grab something to eat, do some homework. They don't even have time for social media at that point. They just want to shower, if they shower, because kids today don't believe in taking showers, as we parents, we know that. So sometimes they won't even shower. They will lay in the bed dirty and go to sleep. This is what the world has come to. And if parents aren't careful, and if they're not heavily involved in their child's life, being fathers, being mothers, not just leaving it up to the community to raise your child or the grandparents because, you know, you can't do it because you're too busy maybe doing you. You know, you should have thought about that before giving birth, or dad should have thought about that before going in raw. You know, think about the consequences that are going to come from it. People don't necessarily make the best choices when it comes to picking the right parent for their child. You know, they lay down for the moment. They don't think about the consequences later on of that strong DNA and which DNA is going to be stronger to, like, be the force of this child's thought process. So people have to be very mindful of that, because guess what? That DNA is strong, and it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but guess what? Those kids, they got their own minds. Guys, I'd like to thank you for coming on today. 14 million listeners at the highest peak today. Wow, I got a lot to talk about, guys. Guys, thank you for logging on today. See you next week. Same bat time, same bat place. We got a lot to talk about. Tommy Torres signing off. Have a good night now. Bye.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.